to the Representing Rural podcast by Rural Community Alliance, and we are continuing our Champions of Rural Arkansas series. And today we have Dirk Murley from the North Central region joining us today. How are you today, Dirk?
I'm doing great, Candace. Thank you for inviting me to do this. I appreciate it.
For sure, for sure. So I won't hold you up too long. So I wanted to get right into it. Could you start by introducing yourself and just sharing a little bit of information about your background and your role as a rural leader?
Sure. So obviously my name is Dirk Murley, and I actually live in Searcy County. And I live in a very kind of very remote part of Searcy County, in sort of the southwest corner where Searcy County, Van Buren County, and Pope County actually come together. I'm probably like a lot of people who get involved in community development. I'm a veteran. I served in the U.S. Army in the 82nd Airborne Division. And when I decided to get out of the military, I'm not from Arkansas. My parents had moved to Arkansas. My father started the hotel restaurant management program at Arkansas Tech University.
Wow.
So when I got out of the Army, I moved to Russellville, you know, and went to school at Arkansas Tech. I met my wife, who grew up in Searcy County. It's kind of the connection. And, you know, she and I kind of have moved around a little bit. It's kind of crazy because I remember when we got married, I told her that I really didn't want to live in a huge city, but I wanted to live in a place big enough that had at least one pro team. And I ended up in Searcy County. But yeah, you know, we kind of started out in Little Rock. It's kind of, we've every time we've made a move, it's to a smaller community, right?
Yeah.
So well, I was in Dallas very briefly, and then Little Rock, and then from Little Rock to Hot Springs, and then Hot Springs to Russellville, and then Russellville to Searcy County. So every time we've made a move, we've moved
further away.
Yeah, we've kind of moved to a smaller area for sure. We built our home in 2004 in Searcy County, and I actually work in Chicago. I've worked in a lot of different locations, but so I commute. I'll spend a week in Arkansas working from my home there, and then I spend a week in Chicago, and I just kind of go back and forth throughout the course of the year. My wife also kind of works remotely. She's able to work more at home, but she also has client hospitals that she works with around the region. So she has to travel a little bit as well. But Searcy County is definitely our home. It's a place that we love being. So,
yeah, that's such a blessing that you're able to live, you know, in rural Searcy County and, you know, have, you know, good jobs, good employment, good careers outside of it. And you still choose to make Searcy County home. That is, I love that.
Yeah.
Apparently they're paying people for that in the Northwest region of the state, right? Like they're paying.
Yeah, you know, I hear those kind of things, right? That's kind of exciting, but yeah.
All right. So what inspired you to, after all these moves from Dallas, you know, where you actually had the protein quota that you wanted to meet, what inspired you to become involved in rural leadership? Because it's very different from, you know, the larger places that you've been, that you resided in. So what inspired you to kind of go into rural leadership?
Yeah, you know, Candace, my story kind of in Searcy County and becoming involved in rural development actually started on a bicycle, right? So I'm an avid cyclist. I got my wife involved in cycling, and her cousin lives, you know, kind of close to us. And we got her involved in cycling, and we would be ride from our community, basically kind of out to the Witt Springs community and back. That was kind of our route that we would ride. And we got a call one day, right, from somebody who is part of the Witt Springs Community Voices group, who's members of RCA, right? And they said, hey, we have the old school. So we had Witt Springs had its own school district.
Yep.
And during consolidation, right, they lost their school district, and they had these buildings. And what's going to happen to the buildings? Well, a lot of times we know, right? They kind of rot down. And
yeah.
nothing juice. So the Witch Springs Community Voices group kind of got behind the idea of making the school district a community center. And one of the things you know about rural areas, and Candace, you know this is probably as well as anybody, is that you have what's a concept known as social dislocation, right? So we live in a rural area, but we live down dirt roads. It's not like we're all in one small community. And what ends up happening is people don't have a place to gather, and we don't have a place to have community. Mm-hmm. And so by having that school district, it created a place where people could gather for birthday parties and anniversary parties and just gather as a community. And it's a place where we have a gym. And so people can go there and walk in the gym. And it's a place where just people can get together because we all need community.
Yes.
And so the Witch Springs Community Voices people just ask us one day, you know, do you think you guys, we could host a bike ride? And we'll use the proceeds from what we get to do work in the community center. And at the time it was putting a roof on the community center. We were having roof leaks and we were having plumbing issues and water leaks. And, you know, it was just kind of that natural thing that happens, right? Mm-hmm. So we decided, okay, we're going to put this ride together. And the first year we called it the Pedestal Rock Ride. And I know you'll ask me later about like what kind of success. This is really kind of one of our successes. Mm-hmm. Is that we hosted this ride. And the first year, I think, Candace, we had like 35 people show up. And it was great. They were super excited about that. I was kind of disappointed, right, that we had 35 people. They were like, this is great. You know, we had 35 people show up and we raised a little bit of money and it just kind of grew from there.
And by
being involved in that kind of triggered me, Candace, to what else can I do for my rural community and who else needs help in the community? And we are blessed. You know, Candace, most of the players in Searcy County. I mean, you're such a great advocate for us. So you know most of those people. But I got in touch with those people, right? And it kind of, you know, it just kind of grew from there. And I'll tell you about more successes that have come from this as we kind of go through this conversation. But that was the one thing that kind of triggered.
Wow. And I always love the shirts that you all have. They're always so comfortable and, you know, really good designs on them.
I'm glad you're getting those, by the way. I pride myself on having those really comfortable shirts.
Thank you. If you had any problem, thank you. And I know it means so much to have that event every year. But like you said, we'll talk about that a little later. So what do you find? I mean, you may have went over this a little bit. But what do you find most fulfilling about being in this rural leadership role?
Well, you know, when I got involved, right, people didn't know about cycling in the county or really Witch Springs. We didn't have cyclists. And so part of it was I was wondering, okay, how are local people going to take to the cyclists that are coming in their community and they're riding down these gravel roads and people are using these gravel roads for agricultural purposes? And, you know, a bike coming down your road isn't always an invited thing, especially if you're used to not having to put your dogs up and now your dogs are chasing cyclists, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that became so rewarding to me was like how the people in Witch Springs embrace the cyclists, you know, and I tell this story that usually what you do in a cycling event is you feed the cyclists, right? And most of these cycling events have like hot dogs or hamburgers, right? And so we were kind of planning this ride. I said, well, you know, we'll need to cook hamburgers or hot dogs. And one of the people in the community said, well, I don't think we should do that. I think we should actually just kind of feed them what would be at a potluck in Witch Springs. And I guarantee it's going to be chicken and dumplings and it's going to be hash brown casserole and it's going to be cobblers and it's going to be fried okra and it's going to be, you know, just Candace, whatever you have at your potluck
is
what we're having at ours. And I actually remember saying, you know what? I don't think people are going to go for that. Right. I think people are coming in are going to want the hamburgers and hot dogs, but you know what? It would probably save us money and people in the community actually took it upon themselves to pay for that, right? So they weren't paid to bring those pots of chicken and dumplings. They just took it upon themselves to do it. And it was a way for us to really save money.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, Candace, at the end of the ride each year, we do a Survey Monkey and we ask people, okay, what do you like about the ride? And overwhelmingly it was, yeah, the route was really cool and we loved all the support you guys gave, but it was the potluck. And I was like, I totally missed that one, Kansas, right? Like I didn't think people would like that. And that's what they love most about the ride.
Wow.
But the fulfilling thing is that people in the community embrace these people who came into the community. Mm-hmm. And now they almost think of them like their kids or, you know, they're part of our family almost. And everybody gets excited every year when the cyclists show up and it's familiar faces to them. They see the same people bringing the chicken and dumplings every year. And our community is just totally taken to the cycling community.
Wow. I love it. And that building and with the old school building, it's a treasure. And so it's a testament of, you know, the culture of giving has really done to support. Because, you know, I'm in one now, a former school building. It is hard to keep up these buildings. So
it's hard. And yeah, you know, kind of finding the money for it. It's like you can ask we have so many people who are great to us, right, throughout rural Arkansas, but it tends to never be enough, right? And so this was a way of us kind of owning it.
Yeah.
For sure. So.
Yeah. So on another note, could you describe any key issues or challenges that your rural community faces and how you work on addressing them?
Well, you know, the biggie for us is, I mean, there's several things, right? But I keep referring back to you, Candace, because I know you know all these challenges, right? Like you're on the front lines of this all the time. And that is getting people involved. You know, it's as great as the Whit Springs Community Voice is, it's like you never have enough volunteers. And trying to inspire people to volunteer, and there actually are good stories that come from this, you know, that a little community close to Whit Springs called Snowball, it's kind of taken, I think, what we started doing at Whit Springs and are doing in their own community now, and they're hosting their own events. But getting enough people involved to pull these things off and volunteer, that's always a challenge, right? Because you only have so many people living in these rural areas and everybody's working and they have their children and they have other parts of their life, and getting them to show up for these things is hard, and it's understandable. And the other thing is, like this concept I talked of social dislocation, is it's just having enough things where you can get enough people to show, to come, where they can have community, right? We don't have enough opportunities for community. And then it's a simple things that we don't always think of when we live in urban areas is that, you know, is do we have good cell signals,
mm-hmm.
and rural broadband access and all those things that we're working on, and the infrastructure to pull off these kind of things that we're trying to do, and the willingness to collaborate with outside groups. These are the challenges. I think it doesn't matter if it's in a lane or, you know, what part of the state it's in that's rural. We all kind of share. And then I think maybe the overreaching thing is that, unfortunately, Candace, we're pitted sort of against each other in rural areas.
Mm.
We're all kind of fighting for the same dollars, and we end up being kind of pitted against each other. And so in Sersig County, you know, we have all these little different communities. It's trying to get everybody to understand we're better as one.
Yes.
And being six or seven different little communities, we're better as one. And I think, Candace, I even mentioned when I received that gracious award that you guys gave me this year. And I think I mentioned that, you know, rural Arkansas is much bigger than we tend to think, right? We tend to think of 10 people showing up at our little community event, but we have hundreds of thousands of people who live in the most rural parts of our state. And we're a bigger voice than people think. And so trying to figure out how we kind of pull together as one. RCA is a great, is an absolute blessing for us because it, you guys allow us to have a voice. You bring communities together where we can create one voice. And it's so impactful to be able to do that because what we end up learning, it doesn't matter what part of the state we live in, if it's the Delta or it's the Ozarks, or if we're in the Ouachitas or whatever part of the state we're in, we all share those same struggles for sure.
We do. We do. As you were talking, I was thinking like, yep, check.
Yep.
With the same things down here. So what are you, do you have anything that you're doing like locally to work through that? Like, even if it's like small steps.
Yeah. You know, I think when you're in rural communities, you have to find all the groups, right? I have mentioned to people before, I had an opportunity to speak at our chamber dinner in Searcy County, and you know Daryl Treat, and he is a, it's like I had somebody tell me one time, everybody ought to have, every county ought to have a Daryl Treat.
Yeah, for
Daryl
sure.
Daryl did an amazing job of building our chamber. And it doesn't matter like what business you have. It's like almost, it's an expectation you're a member of the chamber because he's a great voice for all of us, right? But the one thing I mentioned to people is that like we all need our tribe. But what we don't need is to be tribal. That kind of sounds crazy to say that, but you know, it's no matter what your interests are, there's a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a cyclist and you're out riding, you're going to find people who like to ride bikes. If you quilt, if you, you know, whatever it is you're doing, you will find your tribe. The key is for us is to not be tribal, right? It's for all of us to come together and not only be our tribe, right? But be the greater part of the tribe. And Daryl's done a great job of pulling groups together within our community. And it doesn't matter like what you're involved in, if it's a cattleman's association or whatever, is having one voice. That's a, I think a big deal. And so those are the kind of things that I work towards. You know, my wife probably thinks I spend too much time on social media, but what I do is if, you know, if Chris and I go out and eat at a local restaurant, I always make a post about that experience. If we go to a local store, we Chris and I do a thing every year where we do a Christmas or Christmas shopping day in our own county. And I make sure that I make posts about that. If it's that I went to this store because I was looking for stocking stuffers, or I went to this store because I'm looking for some kind of special gift. I think we have to be more willing to share our social experiences because, you know, that's the collaboration we need, right? And if we're all doing that, Candace, like you and your family and everybody's going out and doing things locally and sharing those experiences, those are just more, I call them feet on the street, right? It's just more people being involved in local development and sharing the good message about what you got going on in your county and sort of minimizing that social dislocation
thing. I like that. Working, like having a place with local development, but by, you know, broadcasting it, by putting it on social media. It's something we may see as small, it's really impactful. You know, this week is Global Entrepreneurship Week, and we'll be in Leslie tomorrow for our pitch competition that we've been having since 2020. But
I love that pitch idea, by the way. I think it's great.
Thank you. So rural entrepreneurship is very important to RCA. So we're really working towards supporting it more and just doing what we can to uplift it. So what you just said is very spot on. Like we have a job as people that reside in rural areas to tell the good stories.
Yes.
You know, no one again is coming in to save us. This is our job. And we have to do that. They work to build up our communities. So thank you for that. So now we get to you can have talk a little bit more about the Pedals to Rock and other successful initiatives or projects that that you've been a part of that have had a positive impact on the county, Searcy County.
Yeah, well, I guess I just want to mention maybe before I go into that is that when I look at rural communities, and, you know, I always say that what's happening in rural Arkansas, in my opinion, is kind of a systemic thing of urban decision making for rural people, because that's where the decision makers are, right? That's where the people who have the greatest influence are. And so we have now decades, right, of having urban decision making for rural areas. So what's going on in urban or rural areas, you know, you'll hear people say, Candace, all the time, that it's natural for, you know, kids to move away for the opportunities. And we all want the best for our kids. And if that means our kids have to move to other areas, of course, that's what we want, right? But what I come back to people on is say that it's not natural to move away from your safety net, to move away from your biggest supporters, to move away from your comfort. It's not natural to do that. It's a necessity. And there's a difference, right? There's a big difference. And so I love Northwest Arkansas. I love what happens in Bentonville. But what I always tell people is that, you know, Searcy County or any county shouldn't be pigeonholed into one economic model, right? So for Searcy County, everybody talks about, well, we're a tourism area because we have the Buffalo National River, which is delightful, right? It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But that's one thing we should be. We should have the opportunity, Candace, to be the sum of multiple things that build our economy. We should all be working towards having an industrial base in our rural areas, mm-hmm. and having tourism and having services and having education. And we should be fighting for the things that make the best communities, mm-hmm. the best communities.
Yeah.
We shouldn't be pigeonholed into being the sum of one type of economic structure. Now, if it ends up being that that's our lot in life, yeah, that's okay. But we shouldn't be pigeonholed to think that you should only be agriculture or you should only be tourism. No, we want to be the things that make the best communities in America. We want to have those same opportunities. So I just wanted to get that out there. In terms of the things that we're working on, I mean, obviously Pedestal Rock, we now call it the PRLF. Mm-hmm. So it just stands for Pedestal Rock Lick Fork. So it's road cycling, and, you know, gravel cycling has grown exponentially in America and exponentially in our state. And we are seeing more of that. So what kind of came Pedestal Rock Lick Fork is that we've created a route called the Ozark Grinder Trail, which is 150 miles of both paved and gravel roads, that we created a route and we created a GPS model for it. And people can download that GPS model and you can come to our county now and you can ride this and, you know, go into all of our little, you know, convenience stores and restaurants and stuff. And you can do like a multi-day thing where you're able to enjoy what we have and you're able to spend your money in our community. We also have a thing called the Arkansas High Country Route that actually comes through Searcy County too. So what this is just building more recognition around cycling and getting more people to come to our part of the state and spend money. Yeah. And in Whit Springs, the community center is kind of known now as the Rider Village. So people can actually come to Whit, ride through Whit Springs, and the community center is open essentially as like a hostel. Where mm-hmm. people have access to bathrooms and showers and, you know, you have and shelter. Mm-hmm. And we leave a jar out and people throw money in that jar, right?
A question. Is it open like all the year long or is it just
when you're- Yep. If you're is.
I
We
didn't
keep
know
it
that.
open year round. And you take that challenge, right, of somebody coming in and stealing something or whatever.
Yeah.
That's just part of it. But we actually haven't seen that, Candace, and we keep the community center open. And it has become a place where people know it's an oasis. If you're in this super rural part of Arkansas and you're riding through, where can I get shelter and showers and bathrooms and access to a kitchen? And
wow.
I mean, it's been amazing for us, Candace. And I think, honestly, Candace, I think that model works so well in the Delta, especially when you consider like the new Delta Heritage Trail.
Yes, that's what I was thinking about.
One of the challenges of cycling in our part of the state is the elevation gain.
Yeah.
So, and that is not for everybody, Candace. And I just think that, like, to me, the Delta and South Arkansas, it has this beautiful scenery and rolling hills, but you also have flatter elevation. So it's actually available to more types of cyclists. That's one of the things, honestly, I'd love to work with you on is to kind of help you guys create
Yes.
this model, because you've got these community centers, you've got the school in the lane where people can get out of bad weather. And we actually let, cyclists, especially bike packers, they have their tent and everything packed on their bike.
Okay.
We tell people all the time, you don't have to set your tent up outside. So if it's 35 degrees, you're riding through our community in November or December, or you're in torrential rain, you're free to set your tent up in our gym.
Wow.
And we do that. And it has been great. And I just, that is a way to, the amazing growth we've seen in cycling in our state is happening in Northwest Arkansas. It's happening in Central Arkansas to a lesser extent, like Northeast Arkansas. But this is where the volume of people are. And those people are eventually going to get tired of only cycling in their area. And we have hundreds of thousands of cyclists that we can introduce to places like our area and to the Delta and create these bike packing experiences where people can come see what South Arkansas or South Central Arkansas or East Arkansas have to offer. We're just going to see way more of that, Candace. And I think you have the infrastructure in place, because the one thing is, mountain biking community, you have to build purpose-built trails, and that takes money. But for gravel cycling, those roads already exist. So we didn't have to spend any money to create the Ozark Grinder Trail, because those gravel roads already exist. There's no spend by your county to build trails. You've got them. They're just gravel routes. And there's a great initiative going on in Northwest Arkansas right now called the Rural Recreation Road Initiative. And what that is it's trying to get cyclists to get out on these gravel roads and in turn spend their money. Because people who live on gravel roads are not always, again, they're not always excited to see a cyclist, because if you live in a rural area, you let your dogs run free.
Yeah.
Now you have to worry about your dogs chasing a cyclist and biting a cyclist. And so they're not always excited to see those people. But when you collaborate together.
Yes.
And that's one of the big things that's going on in Northwest Arkansas, is they're getting people who live in these rural areas to accept cyclists. And they're actually inviting cyclists into these rural communities to understand, well, what are the challenges that they face? And when I'm riding down the road, if a guy's coming down the road on a tractor, am I going to be respectful of him, get off the road, allow him to pass? Or if you have rural areas where people are riding their horses, there's obviously going to be conflict between a bike and a horse. The horse is scared. Yeah. It's being respectful. Get off your bike. Let the horseback rider pass. Usually you stop. You guys talk. I've met so many wonderful people on gravel roads, Candace. My experiences of meeting people who are not excited to see me have been minimal. I have had very little conflict with anybody. It's usually people like, oh, wow, you're riding your bike. Like, where'd you come from?
Yeah.
And I just see that as a massive opportunity to get more people in our rural areas. And if we have Airbnbs, or if it's pitching money in the pot for the school in Elaine where they can set their tent up, that's, I just think it's going to be a, it's such a massive opportunity without having to spend a lot of money.
All right. I'm going to hold you to that, because I want to try to replicate that to the best ability that we can down here, because they are building up the trail out here. But like you said, we have gravel roads. I stay on a gravel road. So we are not short of of gravel roads. So
absolutely. And that is actually, you know, for cyclists, the great thing that cyclists love about gravel roads, and it's the fastest growing part of the cycling community, is you get to experience more of the beautiful countryside, because that's where gravel roads are. Mm-hmm. And then two, when people are riding down a gravel road, even though we've all seen people drive their car crazy down a gravel road, the majority of people are driving much slower. Yeah. So it's safer for a cyclist to be on a gravel road than it is to be on a paved road. So that's, you know, that's where it's at, right? I mean, I just see it as a massive opportunity, and collaborating with people that are engaged in this kind of stuff, like the Runway Group up in Northwest Arkansas. There's a lot of new cycling groups that are popping up all over. And what happens, Candace, is you create a tribe. So if there are not cyclists, if there's not a cycling community in Elaine or in South Arkansas, you know, the minute you start putting this kind of stuff together, you start finding people, you know what, I'd love to ride my bike on that road. And you create a tribe, and that tribe becomes advocates, and advocates become, you know, people who will want to develop their rural area, and it just all kind of works together.
Any other highlights that you want to talk about that was successful, there were initiatives or projects that you were involved in?
You know, we have we have had the you know, working through the grants, we got some money in Searcy County actually for a trail, for like a paved trail that people can walk on or ride their bikes on, so that we can have more recreation opportunities and health and wellness opportunities for people in the county. And one of the things that we really wanted to do with the money we're going to get is work with the school district and make sure the trail works for like for cross country meets, because we never think of the money that schools can bring in, right? Like if Searcy County is hosting a cross country meet, six busloads of kids come in, they're actually going to eat in our local restaurants, and they're going to spend money. We're working with our school district to make sure that it's like a good 5K route for cross country. So we've got that project that we're working on. Daryl has kind of really just grabbed a hold of the trail thing. And we had a local landowner in Searcy County who's letting us use some of his private land for people to walk and essentially create like a trail. Because I'm telling you, health and wellness is a really important thing. And we think because we live in rural areas, people are getting out and doing stuff, but a lot of times they're not. Yep. And so I think doing those kind of things, that's some of the projects we're working on. And then I also worked on a big rural broadband project locally. I'm so proud of that, because we really lobbied hard for our electric cooperative to get in the internet business. And it's like, the initial conversations are like this, Candace, it's like, we are not internet people, we provide electricity. And my response was, but if everybody's moving away, you're not going to have electric customers. And so we need rural broadband so that people don't have to move away. And people can even move to our rural communities that want to work from home. And that clicked. And I'm so excited that we were able to get the grant money, that actually Petit Jean Electric was able to get the revenue needed to provide internet. And so they have an initiative where their goal is to provide internet to 100% of the people in Searcy County, no matter if they live in the deepest holler or, or they live on top of a hill, provide them with, you know, good quality 1 gig internet. That's the standard we're setting. And it's like I tell people, Candace, internet is water.
Yeah, it is.
It is water. We all have to have water to survive, and we have to have clean water. And so we made sure rural communities have clean water. Internet is water. Mm-hmm. It is part of who we are now. It's part of how we do business. And that is, I think, going to provide some of the best opportunities. We're all fighting to find companies who can, you know, build a manufacturing plant in a small rural area, which of course we want to do. That is such hard work to find those kind of companies, but to find people who can work from home, that is a path that's opening itself up. We've had several people move to our county because of it. You know, COVID kind of accelerated people wanting to live in more rural areas, good, bad, or indifferent. Mm-hmm. I think some rural areas actually ended up getting more people moving to area because people were like, you know what? I don't want to be on top of people. If we're going to live in a, if we're going to have to live with pandemics, I'd like to be more rural. And that kind of happened in Searcy County. So rural broadband thing has been huge for us. I'm really getting behind this rural recreation road initiative. And I want to help more rural areas do that. Using existing roads, we're not having to build roads for this, Candace. We already got them.
Yes.
Right. This is a matter of mapping it out on GPS and where everybody can download it. So those are kind of the things that I'm working on. I'm obviously working in our county to bring, you know, we have a lot of empty buildings, like a lot of rural areas, right? Mm-hmm. So we're trying to fill those buildings and bring manufacturers to our community, more tourism things. Those are kind of the natural things that we're all trying to do to build our community. But that's kind of the things that I'm working on.
How do you keep the hope? Like,
that's a great question. And you know what? That question that came from you is so heartfelt because I know you know, right? Like, I know you know that it is hard to keep the hope. It just is. And that is where we have to get more people in our tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're surrounded by more community developers, it's a way you can gather together and kind of keep the hope. I mean, it's hard. It's hard. And I wish I had a great answer for that. But, you know, I use sort of that Pollyanna thing where we're in it for the long haul, okay. Right? Right. We're not just trying to get through the first quarter. We got a 4-quarter game, but it is hard. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to keep the hope. But I think the one thing I would say to help people keep the hope is do not become tribal to the point where you're only talking to the rural developers in your own community. You got to branch out. You got to reach out. You got to find the other people so that we can see what kind of successes they got and how we can duplicate that, because we're not competing against each other.
Yeah.
We're really not. And I know when somebody has a good thing, right? Your plan is to, I got to keep this because we had a good thing and I don't want to share it with everybody. But look, I come from a restaurant. So I started out in restaurant management, right? And big restaurant chains, if you go, Little Rock is a great example of this, right? A restaurant chain will have a large restaurant on this corner, and across the street, they'll put another restaurant in, and across the street, they put another restaurant in. And on the other corner, they put another restaurant in, and everybody says, well, they're cannibalizing each other. No, what they're creating is a destination. Mm-hmm. People, there are more cars are coming to eat there because there's more restaurants there.
Yeah.
That's the thing, I think, is we just have to be willing to collaborate and bring more people into the picture. But I mean, reaching out to the groups around the state that are trying to grow, trying to help us around the state, like the Runway Group, I've mentioned them, but there's so many of these groups that are in more urban areas that can offer a helping hand.
Like the, does ADC have any, the Economic Development Commission, are they working at all?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. I think when you and your community decide if it's a food desert, Kansas, and we have to address food deserts, then the key is you guys come up with the plan, and then we have to be willing to scream. We have to be willing to go to our state and say, we are a force and we need your help, and get those resources behind us. If it's Arkansas Economic Development or your rural or your regional economic development, or if it's these nonprofit groups that tend to have money, we got to bring more people in. And that to me is how you keep the hope.
I just want to, because you keep mentioning the Runway Group, I know they kind of be involved on another side of things, but they have since backed down from trying to do the Buffalo River deal. But so what else are they helping with?
Well, you know, they're involved in a lot of things, right? So if you go, I think they do a lot of community development work, and I think probably largely started kind of strictly in Northwest Arkansas. Is investing in infrastructure things that can bring more people into their communities. And once you have people in the community, what do you do with them? But they're branching out, right? Like, they're trying to help in other areas. You know, I'm one of the people that believes we have to have a collaborative mindset. And again, mm-hmm. I've said tribal many times, but I'm, you know, I just think whatever came of that Buffalo River thing, when I think what you're mentioning is that there is an effort to make the Buffalo National River a national park and preserve. Mm-hmm. Now, our governor has a massive plan in place, or desire in place, to double or triple tourism in the state of Arkansas. Mm-hmm. Obviously, North Central Arkansas is a natural fit for that because we have the National River. And so I think there was this effort to sort of create a national park where we only have a national river now, because the mindset is that more people will come. With that comes its own challenges, right? You got to have the right infrastructure in place. So what I would tell anybody is that, okay, if this doesn't happen, there's no bad guys in this story, Candace. That's a position I come from. I don't think we have villains in this story. We have people we may disagree with. It may not be the way we want to do it, but that doesn't make them villains. What it means is it to me, it just opens up a massive opportunity to say, you know what, this thing may not be right, but let's collaborate on something else. And that's my hope, you know, is that the governor gets more involved. I think we created a villain where one didn't exist because nobody was willing to get out in front of it. And so I think that's where, if the governor says we're going to be a state with triple the tourism, then understand the Delta plays a massive role in that. South Arkansas plays a massive role in that because we already have gravel roads. Let's figure out how to help them market that. Spend money on advertising to market that, help them create these routes that people can download and get them down in those areas.
But like you said, collaboration. So it would be good, you know, if that is an entity that's willing to put up the funding to help get these things along, is to do that collaboration, like come into the communities, have conversations, have town halls, meetings with the mayors and the residents and the people that live out on these gravel roads. So all of the meeting of the minds can come together to figure out this.
I think the big mistake that came from what we learned from this was that if you're not involving local people in decisions you're trying to make, then what you're doing is what I spoke of earlier, which is urban decision-making for rural areas. And we don't need that, right?
Yeah, we don't need that at all.
You got to come into our neighborhoods. You got to come to our community. You got to understand the culture that exists there. The culture in North Arkansas, Candace, is different than the culture in South Arkansas.
Absolutely,
in many ways. you know, in many ways. And that is, you have to understand that, right? You have to understand what are the cultural idiosyncrasies of the communities you go into, and you collaborate around that, because that's the gem, right? If I'm somebody who lives in another state and I want to come to Arkansas, I'm not looking for everybody to be the same. I'm not looking for the same things that I could get mm-hmm. in Chicago or whatever. I want the local culture. I want to embrace myself and what's local, and you never know that if you don't ask locals. And so that's what probably the greatest thing that's come from this is collaborate with locals, get us involved, and we'll help educate you and come up with a plan together of what helps us all.
Yes, let's work on this together. Exactly. So you've touched on this as well, but what are some strategies or policies that you believe are most important in promoting economic development and social well-being in your community? So are they policies from the state level that we need, or locally, like how does it look?
I think we have to recognize from a local perspective, we have to understand that social dislocation is a real true problem mm-hmm. and get communities together. So if you have six communities within your county, it's a good example, right? Your six towns, six of the sizable towns in your community, and they're all trying to do these different events throughout the year. Let's figure out how we all promote each other's event.
Yeah.
People in Searcy County, I use Searcy County as an example because that's where I live. But if we have an event going on in Gilbert, great. Let's all show up to that event in Gilbert, not just the people who live in Gilbert. And then let's all show up at St. Joe's event. Let's all show up at Leslie's event. Let's all show up at Marshall's event. Let's all show up on the Buffalo River, because we are going to spend our money. So let's spend more of our money in our own counties. That's a great policy right there. Another one is this sounds crazy, Candace, but teaching people how to shop. One of the things is with the advent of us being able to buy online, is I tell people all the time, if you can't get what you need locally, our county, your county, is actually better off if somebody buys it online versus driving an hour to go get it. Because mm-hmm. If it's in a different county, that revenue stays in that county.
Yep.
If you buy it online, that tax revenue is supposed to come back to your county. I don't know the method in which it does that. Mm-hmm. But that helps build your local community. It helps build the dollars in your local community. I think communities have to understand that we're better as one. That's a mindset more than a policy. Mm-hmm. And then from a policy decision is, you know, I mentioned before, we have to be willing to meet with our elected officials, and we have to be able to share with them what our vision is. We can't assume they know. We have to be able to share with them what our vision is and get them to be our advocates, to get them to help advocate. That's a policy decision that can go. And then I tell you what, I would tell anybody, if you live in a rural community where you have a struggling chamber of commerce, call Daryl Treat and understand how he did what he did, because his model works. Mm-hmm. His model is a great model. And he'd done a dynamite job. We have to look at what makes urban areas great. They have a great chamber of commerce. We need to duplicate that. If they have, you know, great community involvement, we have to duplicate that. They're looking to build an economy around four different sectors instead of just being agriculture or tourism. We have to use their mindset and duplicate those kind of things. I guess that's kind of where I mean, it's difficult to Candace to say that it's one policy that ends up making us right. But it's duplicating these efforts that have worked in other areas mm-hmm. and holding your legislators accountable.
Yes, for sure. They need to know how what they vote up on at the Capitol affects us. So I'm with you on that. We have to keep them informed and engaged with us, not just during the legislative session, but throughout the year.
We all have quorum courts in our rural communities, right? Yeah. In our counties.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best thing I've seen is that our quorum, you know, most quorum courts, they're concerned with the work of county government, right? And so they work with the county judge, they approve or not approve or work on budgets, they do those kind of things. But getting your quorum court members to collaborate with your Chamber of Commerce and work together, mm-hmm. that is huge. And Daryl's, you know, goes to those meetings. He's involved in that. He educates our quorum court, our county judge, our local officials, our state government, our state legislators. He's always educating them on what we're trying to do for economic development. Far too often, those two entities, government and commerce, don't collaborate enough.
Mm-hmm.
He's done a great job of that. And I would tell anybody, I mean, that maybe it's unfair to put that onus on Daryl, you know, me saying that, but I think Daryl probably would freely give his advice to people who does a great job at
what he does.
Yes, for sure.
My next question is something that's very near and dear to me, the youth. So how do you engage and involve the youth in your community, ensuring that they're a part of the decision-making and that their voice is heard?
Well, you know, we have a group within the Searcy County School District called the EAST Program. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. The Marshall EAST Program is fantastic. I mean, they, I think, have been recognized and awarded for the kind of work they do. But that's a great place to start when you're working with, if it's the, whatever the clubs and groups are within the school.
Mm-hmm.
Get them involved in community development by saying, okay, we've got this, you know. One of the things we did, Candace, with Ozark Grinder Trail is once we created it and we had the mapping for it, we got with the Marshall EAST Program, and I actually rode the entire length of the route over 2 days, and they filmed me and created a documentary.
Yes.
And you can go to YouTube and see, and that got those kids involved in it. And those are sort of baby step things that you can do. But I would tell anybody, if you have a business in your county, mm-hmm. in the summer when these kids are not in school, why not start an internship program?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if you're a local accountant.
Yes.
Bring these kids in so they understand what the wheels of business look like, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They should be invited. Our youth should be invited to our quorum meetings. They should be invited to city meetings. They should be allowed to essentially be journalists and write articles. If you have a local newspaper that maybe comes out once a week or whatever, get kids involved in that and give them a platform. Let those kids actually write articles that their fellow students will read in that local newspaper. You know, it's hard to get kids involved because they're, you know, they have their own things going on.
Mm-hmm.
We need to invite kids. We need to make sure kids understand. Like I tell them, you're not kids. You are young adults, whatever you want to call them, mm-hmm. but you're members of our community.
Sure.
You're not just kids in the community. You're members of the community, and you can make our community better. We should be collaborating with kids on, you know, what are the types of things they want to see in the county that would improve their quality of life. And if it's things you can come to an agreement on, you try to execute those things. I think it's just, they have such great imaginations, right? We're probably not utilizing them enough.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I love that. And I remember seeing that that the East program did, sure. I remember seeing that when you mentioned it. That's an awesome way to get them involved in community and economic development. Yes. So what are some cultural or historical aspects of your community that make it unique, and how do you incorporate or preserve them in your leadership efforts?
Yeah, well, you know, you probably already know this, but Searcy County, you know, we're the chocolate roll capital of the world. Right? And so everybody remembers when you were making pies, right? Your grandmother's making pies or your mom's making pies, and you always have that leftover pie dough. And what you typically would do is roll that out, put cinnamon and sugar, and we'd roll that up and bake it. Well, a chocolate roll is that, only we use powdered, you know, we use cocoa and sugar, and we make chocolate rolls, right? And so that's kind of like that's a thing in our county, right? That is very kind of synonymous to Searcy County, and we have a lot of our local restaurants sell these chocolate rolls. It's kind of a cultural thing for us. We have a chocolate roll festival. Mm-hmm. And because I'm a cyclist, there's a concept in cycling called slow rolling, where you have like just a gathering of people who ride bikes together, and it's not a race, and we ride our bikes, and we call it a slow roll. You're rolling at a slow enough thing that you're having a conversation pace. And so we do a thing every December now that we call the chocolate roll.
I heard that. Right?
And we do it in Leslie, and it's kind of the flatter part of our county. And we have two routes, and we call it the chocolate roll. And people show up and they ride this route. And it's almost kind of like at a conversational pace. This is by no means a race. Okay. And everybody that shows up, we give them a chocolate roll. And my wife makes this fabulous hot cocoa for everybody. And we have hot cocoa and chocolate rolls. There's no sign up. It doesn't cost you anything to do it. Really, it was a way to bring our local cyclists together for like that last group ride of the year. We put a jar out. People throw a few dollars in the jar. We can use that for sort of promoting cycling events throughout the year. But we get people showing up. Like, I had two friends from Little Rock who came last year. We get people who kind of come, and it's just a way to enjoy our part of the state. They don't typically get to ride, but not at race pace. And they get to experience the culture of having that local chocolate roll. And at the end of the ride, there's like four or five restaurants right in that Leslie area. Everybody picks the restaurant they're going to eat at. They eat and then they go home.
Y'all have some good restaurants down in Leslie too.
We are blessed with that, aren't we? I'm so happy about that, right? Mm-hmm.
So I just have, I guess, a couple more questions. So can you share an experience that epitomizes the spirit and resilience of Searcy County?
You know, I go back to my Pedestal Rock Lick Fork ride because, you know, it is local businesses who support our ride. You know, they pay that amount of money to get their name on that shirt. And a lot of those local businesses, they're not going to profit from the riders who come from Little Rock or Memphis or wherever. You know, our lumber store is not going to profit from that.
Yeah.
But that is a commitment they make to our community. And in terms, the people who put the ride together are shopping in their business because we're scratching each other's back, right? Our ride now, Candace, we get a little over 100 cyclists show up, and we get them from Little Rock, Conway, Fort Smith, Jonesboro, Springfield, Missouri, Northwest Arkansas, Russellville. We've got cyclists coming from all of Oklahoma. We get people who come from all over to do our ride. And it is because everybody gets involved in it. Our local businesses support it. The Daryl and the chamber promote it. It's not necessarily benefiting some of our businesses, and we do, you know, a lot of the restaurants do better. I think when you have a successful event like that, that everybody can hang their hat on, that you're proud of, that's a sweet spot for us. And I think there are a number of those kind of things that go on throughout our county, but that's, I think, one thing I would point to.
Yeah. My last question, what is your vision for the future of Searcy County, of Whisper Springs, and how do you plan to work towards that vision?
You know, I think it is, you know, we've seen more people moving to the county, but we need to have a hope and aspiration that our counties grow in population. And I think the broadband internet thing, Candace has said, probably can help with that more than anything else. I'm a supporter of any kind of collaboration around what we do best, and what we do best in our county is tourism. So that's not what I only want to see. And the chamber and people are working really hard to bring up, you know, to build that multi sort of tiered economic structure. But I'm willing to collaborate with anybody who's willing to bring the right ideas that will help us do better in tourism in our county. excuse me. The infrastructure thing, rural broadband, those are the things that matter. And then just trying to keep sharing the message of more people being involved, more local tribes. Mm-hmm. I always tell people our goal in Searcy County, everybody has a mission, and our mission is to make Searcy County a better place to live, a better place to work, a better place to play, and a better place to stay. Mm-hmm. And if we can focus on each of those four things, that's a lot, right? There's a lot of different things that can happen within those four things, but simplify it, right? Don't make the message too hard. We're trying to make our county a better place to live, work, play, and stay.
Yes. I love that stay. I love that. Because you get into the whole housing, another part of the infrastructure.
Oh, absolutely.
Man, I don't want to keep you too much longer. Is there anything else that you want to share before you have to get off? I really appreciate you giving me your time today.
Yeah, well, Candace, you know, this is like the softball, but the softball for me is just to thank people like you. Mm-hmm. Rural Community Alliance, you know, when I went to the banquet this year, and you get to be around people who are frustrated, and it's hard to keep the hope, but we're sharing our little wins, and we're sharing the things we're doing. That is such a blessing. And I think the Rural Community Alliance is just a great organization that we all need to invest more in, and we need to invest our time, energy, and effort into. But I really want to thank you, because your leadership and people like Levina Grannon. I mean, honestly, I didn't know about RCA until Levina wanted to interview me for the Byways magazine about our bicycle ride.
Yes.
And I learned about RCA through that, and I immediately signed up as an individual member of it. Mm-hmm. But RCA is a great organization. I just want to thank you for all you're doing, Candace, and thank you for having platforms like this where we can all share.
I really appreciate it. And thank you for giving a shout out to Levina. Levina, Dorothy, Renee, they really laid a good foundation for us. And every day we just try to continue building upon it. So thank you. Thank you so much, Dirk.
All right. Thank you so much, Candace.
That's all I have. You enjoy your weekend. Have a good holiday.
Enjoy your Thanksgiving. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.